Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Malaysia has expressed concern that the new security partnership between Australia, the US and the UK, also known as AUKUS, could potentially shift the power equation in the strategic South China Sea. The agreement will see the UK and the US provide Australia with the technology and the capability to deploy nuclear-powered submarines, which means Australia will become just the seventh nation in the world to operate nuclear-powered submarines. So tonight on the show, we're going to discuss the potential diplomatic challenges for Malaysia as well as for ASEAN from the AUKUS agreement. Let's begin. Our first guest tonight is Alina Noh. She's the Director of Political Security Affairs at the Asia Society Policy Institute, as well as the Deputy Director of its Washington, D.C. office. Alina, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today. This deal, it seems that it has caught many by surprise. I'm just wondering whether the timing of this new deal is significant, and if so, why now?
Well, thanks for having me again, Melissa and Sharad. It's great to be back. Yes, it has caught many people by surprise, particularly France, which was really sidelined by Australia from this deal. The timing, I think, there hasn't been very much speculation about whether the timing in particular has been anything significant. Certainly, this deal took a long time to negotiate, and analysts have said that discussions first began at the G7 meeting in Cornwall. So it has progressed over several months. And I think France was only informed prior to the announcement, which is what has caused a bit of consternation on their side. So there would have been much more appreciation all around, particularly in the region as well, if some advance notice had been given. So I think the surprise announcement particularly was not very welcome by those in Southeast Asia and further beyond.
Ellen, if we could just focus on the motivations of one of the key members of the PAC was the United States. Is this signal that essentially we have some sort of continuity between the Trump administration and the Biden administration with regard to its attitudes towards China and what kind of relationship they want to build in the Asia Pacific?
Yeah, that comparison has certainly been made, and I think there's some validity to it. I think if you're viewing it from Washington, there is pressure to appear to respond more assertively to what is seen from DC as a more muscular China. And so politically, the Biden administration can't be seen to back down from this quote China challenge. And what we have now, I think, is a softer, more multilateral face of America first. It's more America first with alliances and partnerships. So in a sense, the Biden administration's promise of returning to multilateralism has been kept. But that face of confronting China more assertively and more forcefully is still there. And it's a legacy not only of the Trump administration, but I think what you seen is a historical legacy from even prior to the Trump administration.
Okay. Alina, I definitely do want to touch on China and what this deal means for kind of superpower rivalry. But I just want to come back very quickly to the responses of the deal, particularly the response from France. Were you surprised at how strongly France reacted to this deal? I mean, I'm just looking at some of the news headlines that, the French President Emmanuel Macron had actually ordered the recall of French ambassadors to Washington and Canberra. And, the EU has also come out to make some statements about the treatment of its of one of its members. Can you give us some context as to the extent of the EU and France's anger and how much this might potentially impact diplomatic relations?
Yeah, I think one of the best descriptions of the French reaction I've seen out there has been that it's been apoplectic. And certainly the wording has been very strong. French Foreign Minister Yves Le Drian has called it a stab in the back, this deal, called it full of deceit and lying. So very, very strong and harsh words from the French side. And I think what's struck me at least quite significantly has been the comparison between the French and Chinese reactions. I think we all expected the Chinese to react strongly to this announcement, this AUKUS announcement, but for the French to come out perhaps even more strongly than the Chinese, I'm not sure everyone expected that extent or intensity of the French reaction. Part of this is the domestic picture, right? France has not only lost a deal, a submarine deal, a significant one at that, which means in turn a loss of jobs and employment for the French domestic economy that is trying to recover after or in the midst of COVID. But there's also a loss of face, so to speak, right? So this AUKUS deal is seen as a turn to a sort of Anglo-American partnership, and the French and rest of Europe has been seen to be left out. So the Western world, unfortunately, is seeing rifts in the Atlantic relationship, which I think sort of forebodes the future from the European side of what the US-Europe partnership or relationship might look like as the US turns more of its attention in a more focused manner towards Asia.
Alina, could you help us understand what this deal does, especially as it deputizes Australia to carry out, as it were, American interests in strategic areas like the South China Sea? Are we likely to see this as a form, or should we see this as a form of deterrence? Or is it likely to, in fact, raise the stakes and heighten and escalate tensions in the area?
Yeah, I think to step back, this deal is more than just the nuclear-powered submarines, right? This deal also talks about science and tech cooperation, cooperation on industrial bases and supply chains. And although the C word, China, was never mentioned in the official announcement by any of the three leaders of Australia, the US, and the UK, I think the subtext is that this is, in a way, about challenging, deterring China's dominance in the region. So Australia, my understanding is that it was Australia who approached the UK about the possibility of embarking on this nuclear-powered sub deal. And the US stepped in to offer its partnership as well. So really the impetus and initiative, to my understanding, came from Australia. It does sort of cement this view, unfortunate really, of this, you know, return of a colonial empire of sorts to the region. And in this region, in Asia, optics matters a great deal. So the reaction from Indonesia and Malaysia in particular has not been particularly surprising. Singapore has been a little circumspect, as it usually is. And it's only the Philippines that really stands out as being welcoming of the AUKUS deal.
Right. Can we talk a little bit about the response from Malaysia and Indonesia? Malaysia has said that this could potentially spark a nuclear arms race. Could you help us better understand the concerns of that?
Yeah, so it's a little puzzling to me as well, because from the announcement, it appears that the submarines in the next couple of decades, when they eventually deliver, this is an extremely complex undertaking. Those submarines will be conventionally armed. They will be nuclear powered, but conventionally armed. I think the concern about a nuclear arms race from the Malaysian side is that eventually the subs will be capable of taking on nuclear weapons. And if that's the case, then obviously it will escalate tensions in the region, but it will also escalate the risk of an all-out nuclear war and maybe a small spark that starts it off. I think the real risk that we should be aware of is although these nuclear subs are said to be very safe and technology has safeguards for preventing radiation, there is still the threat and risk of nuclear radiation in waters of the South China Sea and our neighboring waters. And that's why we have insisted on SHONFES, it's an awkward acronym, but the Southeast Asia Nuclear Weapons Free Zone, that unfortunately none of the nuclear powers have signed on to. So there are two related concerns. One is this threat of an arms race, conventional or at some point in time nuclear. And two, that ASEAN countries are sidelined from this increasingly tense major power competition. So those two concerns, I think, are really what's driving a lot of the anxiety in Southeast Asia about the AUKUS announcement.
Elena, you know, New Zealand has also been left out of the cold in the sense that this is a traditional ally. We have the, you know, the Five Eyes deal and all these other forms of alliances in which New Zealand used to play a role. I wonder if the New Zealand case is actually worth looking at in terms of the options available to ASEAN, because you have a New Zealand that insists on its foreign policy independence. It's tried to play a kind of balanced role, attitude towards China, critical, but, you know, soft peddling some other issues, so on and so forth, and wanting its trade, wanting China's trade. Is it a model for ASEAN to deal with, you know, this future rivalry between superpowers?
Yeah, well, of course, as you pointed out, Shira, there are differences as well, right? New Zealand is a part of the Five Eyes Alliance and ASEAN countries are not. But I think certainly this, we share, especially countries like Malaysia and Indonesia, this sort of foreign policy autonomy and independence, or at least we aspire to it in the same way that New Zealand does. And in many discussions at the non-governmental level, especially, there has been this like-mindedness, if you will, amongst the New Zealanders and the Malaysians in particular, about how our countries share similarities in the conduct of foreign policy. So certainly, I think there may be an option to enhance cooperation in that regard, but it is going to be a bit of a challenge within the ASEAN family itself with such divergent opinions, with Indonesia and Malaysia on the one hand feeling the way that it does about AUKUS and the Philippines at the other end of the spectrum completely welcoming of the AUKUS deal. The ASEAN summit level meetings are coming up very soon at the end of the month. It will be interesting to see the types of discussions that will be floating around at the end of this month in virtually in Brunei about this AUKUS deal and what that means for ASEAN centrality, for ASEAN unity in dealing with the major powers.
All right. My last question to you, Elena, coming back to China, of course, China predictably has responded saying that this is, accusing the three countries of having Cold War mentality. I'm wondering where you see this progressing. Are we likely to see an escalation between in terms of following the AUKUS deal?
Yeah, as I mentioned, China was not mentioned in the announcement, but I think everybody understands that a large part of the AUKUS deal is about China. And so there is this hand-wringing in the region about what this means for ASEAN countries caught in the middle. And ASEAN countries have already expressed a desire not to be caught in the middle between these powers. So I think there are no easy and short answers right now. Different ASEAN countries will have different approaches to navigating their own relations with the US and its allies on the one hand and China on the other. I think Malaysia will have to really think about its strategy because it wants to retain and preserve these friendships with all the different countries, whether it's China or the US and others. But at the same time, it has a very real prospect of confrontation happening in Malaysia's own backyard in the South China Sea, being increasingly pressured out on the maritime sphere But at the same time, China is a huge trading partner and a friend of ours. So I don't have any answers for you. All I can say is watch this space. We'll continue with this strategic discussion for at least a few more years.
Well, Alina, you did have some answers for us tonight. We appreciate your time and you sharing your insights with us. That was Alina Ngo of the Asia Society Policy Institute. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this, but we will be back with more on this topic, so don't go anywhere. Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. We're talking about the AUKUS agreement, which was brokered last week, and it sees the UK, the US, and the US providing Australia with the tech to deploy nuclear-powered submarines. Now, this deal puts many ASEAN members at the front line of superpower conflict, and the question is, should and can Malaysia oppose it? Joining us on the show now is geostrategist Azmi Hassan. Azmi, good evening. Thank you for being on the show tonight. Defense and security experts are saying that the AUKUS agreement signals a paradigm shift in terms of strategy and policy across the region. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about this deal.
Yeah, Melissa, as you said just now, ASEAN is in the middle thick of it with this AUKUS, as I see it, it's a very exclusive club between these three superpowers. And ASEAN, if we look at the response from ASEAN leaders, the Philippines and Singapore, for example, they are hoping for stability coming from this AUKUS deal. But President Jokowi and our Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri, said they are worried and cautious of this particular AUKUS deal, because ASEAN need to come with one voice with this particular, I would say, again, exclusive club. But again, we see the divide in ASEAN itself. I see that Singapore and the Philippines, they are really positive about this AUKUS deal, and Malaysia and Jakarta are very cautious. So that's the response the ASEAN regarding AUKUS, but no doubt that this particular deal will affect us somehow or other. It will affect us either positive or negative. ASEAN is in the middle of it, Melissa.
Azmi, an Indonesian analyst says that while he expects ASEAN countries to either be muted or not indifferent, but unable to kind of take sides on this issue, the problem seems to be for ASEAN is that they don't have an alternative, that there is a problem in the South China Sea, and that is China's increasing push towards claims, not only in the South China Sea, but building islands and their own sort of arsenal buildup in the region, that unless there is a response to it, the countries are actually in peril. So this might be maybe not the perfect solution, but it does seem to be some sort of solution. Is there an alternative to AUKUS?
Yes, of course. I think there is an alternative. I think a better alternative to AUKUS, because AUKUS, as mentioned just now, give a very good deal to Australia. They'll be having a nuclear-powered submarine, which only the seven nations that have this capability. And the nuclear power submarine is way much better than what we have or what Singapore have or what India currently have. So I think AUKUS will create a turmoil within ASEAN. Let me relate a few weeks ago when Vice President Kamala Harris visited a number of ASEAN countries. And also a few weeks after that, Wang Yi, the foreign minister of China, visited the same nation of ASEAN. There is some tug of war between the United States and China. Please be with us. I think that's kind of a message. But I think let me pick about what Prime Minister Tsai Ing-lung said, to pick between the United States and China. I think Singapore, we know that they are very close ally to the United States. They said they need both nations. They need both superpowers. But Sharad, with AUKUS, you have to choose. whether you are with the superpower led by United States or you are with China. So I think AUKUS is not a good deal. It's not a good trying to balance the power of China in South China Sea. As I see it, it will create turmoil, not only within ASEAN, but Indo-Pacific as a whole, Sharad.
That's so fascinating, Azmi. So if that's the case, and you know, this pushes AUKUS actually heightens tensions even within ASEAN and pushes certain ASEAN members right to the front lines of this superpower rivalry, how do you think Malaysia will respond if Malaysia is made to choose? Will we choose? And how will we choose?
I don't think so. Malaysia will make a choice that they will pick either United States or China. I think in our case, Melissa, I think we are making use of these both superpowers. As Sharad said just now, China has been very vocal, very upfront, especially in claiming their South China Sea. And in a way, it's good that United States is also involved in this particular issue, meaning that if China is bully us all the time in terms of South China Sea, we have someone else to fall into. So I think strategically, we don't want to choose. Like Indonesia also, they don't want to choose. Singapore also, they want to trade with China, but rely on security on other states. Same with us, Kuala Lumpur. I don't think so is a good choice, is a good strategy to choose between the two.
Thank you for bringing up the trade issue, because a day after AUKUS was announced, China filed an application to join the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, the CPTPP, and it signaled China's own long-term strategic investment in the region, and so will we find ourselves at some point having to choose, because China and many other countries, of course, don't have neat, they don't have firewalls between trade issues and security issues or political issues. And, you know, we will be punished if we do not, play ball with either side.
Yeah, that's true. We'll be punished, of course. But that's why we have to be very intelligent, very subtle in not choosing side. And when you mentioned CPTPP, China, yes, a few days ago did try to apply joining the club. I think it's very interesting. RCEP, China being the kingmaker in RCEP, the biggest trade agreement that has been signed last November. And if CPTP accepted China, it would be very interesting. That's the reason why we should. I think the superpowers, especially Beijing and Washington, should discard their Cold War mentality. Beijing accused United States of being using the Cold War mentality. Choose either one side. I think ASEAN, I think they are choosing both sides because they need both sides. They need China, they need United States, not only for trade, but also for security. So in this case, I think the CPTPP, I think, threw another spanner inside ASEAN. Since Malaysia is part of CPTPP, whether we ratify or not, we have no idea. But again, it's going to be very interesting if we talk about CPTPP in relation to our AUKUS, Sharad.
Right. Azmi, I just want to ask you, going forward, what it is that you might be looking out for or keeping an eye on? Because, France has reacted very strongly to this deal. China has, as you mentioned, talked about this Cold War mentality. Are you concerned that this deal might provoke a heightening of tensions, more aggression, perhaps more aggressive behavior, particularly in the South China Sea? What will you be watching out for, Azmi?
Well, not only the South China Sea, Melissa, but I think DPRK, Kim Jong-un already stated his view about AUKUS. Well, it's part of Indo-Pacific, but more interesting, Melissa, is that India, they have been asking United States for the submarine, nuclear-powered submarine from United States for a long time. And India has been asking why that you are giving the technology to Australia. not to us. So India said they also want that particular technology. So I think we should look into either India or Japan, in this case, whether they are trying to acquire the same technology from United States. Because as we know, United States has the best nuclear power technology. Whoever possesses it, I think they are one step or two step above their adversary, Melissa.
Right. Azmi, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We'd really appreciate you helping us put this into context. Thank you for your time. That was geostrategist Azmi Hassan. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But before I leave you tonight, a reminder that you can get the latest COVID-19 vaccine information on astrawani.com as well as our app. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.